Hello, it's Kathy Love here. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. So no big surprise at all, I like to talk a lot. And now I can share some of the incredible people who crossed my path and the interesting conversations that we have. The Private Practice Secrets podcast is all about harnessing and sharing this collective business know-how, the experience, and the wisdom. My guests are amazing. They're bold, they're brave, and they're honest. There are laughs, and surprisingly, there's often talk of wine. We think you're really going to enjoy these unplugged private practice chats. So come on in, pull up a chair, let's get the conversation started. Hello, Mel, how are you?
I'm great. How are you today, Kathy?
I am well. So I've got a confession to make first up. I've been telling people that you're the boss lady at Horton Financial Solutions. But lucky for you, I did a little bit of internet research 20 minutes ago. It's Horton Strategic Solutions.
Correct.
Financial planning for real people.
It is. So, financial planning for real people is the most important part there.
Talk us through that bit, because I know your passion and I want you to be able to share that with practice owners, because this is really your niche and you do a lot of things well, but you really, really nail this. So talk to us about the real people bit.
So a lot of people ask me what it means. What does financial planning for real people mean? And generally I say that it just means people who aren't already wealthy, don't already have their, you know, eggs all in the right places, that they want to get the advice they need to get to them to that position. Whereas a lot of people seem to think that if you see a financial advisor, you have to have a certain level of wealth and organisation before you go in. So we kind of describe the real people as people who don't have all of that sorted. And in my opinion, it's a case of if you did have all of that sorted, why would you need my help in the first place? But it's a common misconception. So the real people are the everyday people, people who actually need help. So getting from that dog paddling phase into freestyling through life so that you can be financially relaxed in order to do the stuff you really want to do well and not focus on the little bits and pieces of running your financial life.
Got it. And I guess it reduces the anxiety about not having a plan as well. Do you hear that from your clients?
Yeah, look, some people, obviously, personality types come into it. Some people survive quite well without knowing what they're doing the next week. Other people love to have structure and guidance and like to see their future finances in piece of paper and put down in front of them. So I believe that everybody needs to have a financial plan. It can be different levels of complexity and it's always going to be fluid. So things change, people change, legislation changes, person's circumstances change. A financial plan is not a set and forget, not a this is the best thing to do and then go away and do it. Did that answer your question, Kathy?
Yep, I'll take anything. I love listening to you talking about what you do. So financial planning, I know you've been involved in a positivity campaign, but it hasn't got the brightest and shiniest of reputations, which I think is just devastating. Oh, I can hear you take a breath.
So how would you
describe it? I mean, what is it and why has it sort of come adrift?
So the history of financial planning is that probably 20 years ago, there were no real financial planners. There were majority of people were doing sales of financial products or sales of insurance, personal insurance. Now, over the last, particularly the last 15 to 20 years, we've been progressing that to a true financial strategic planning role. Now, the whole financial planning world has not yet moved on, and it's really important that if you do want financial planning advice, that you actually see somebody who is a financial planner and not a financial product flogger. So it's happening, it's changing. There are a lot of good advisors out there. But the reputation of not being the greatest profession in the universe is actually justified. I spend a lot of my time fighting the dodgy advice that people have had in the past, or they call it advice. It's really not advice. What it should be is your personal situation, goals and objectives, looking at where you are, where you want to go to, or where you need to go to, and giving you the strategies to get there. That's financial planning. if there is some requirement for some insurance or a bank account, a superannuation fund, that's also part of what we do, but it's secondary. It's just the tool to get you there. And that's the difference between true financial planning and the old-fashioned financial product flogging.
Yeah, I mean, we got sort of not so much burnt, but certainly turned off, I'm going to say 20 years ago, because that's about what it could have been, when we sought some advice from the bank, and also an independent planner, and they were both hopeless, and it was so disappointing. I think one of them we didn't even pay because the plan was incorrect. Until I really met you and a couple of other awesomes, I was really kind of the mind that that's not for me, that's not going to be helpful. You're huge profile in the financial planning industry of Australia, and you've really, you know, you're turning it around, guys. It's good.
Yeah, well, luckily it's not just me, or else that we wouldn't get very far, very fast. But certainly the financial planning world is moving forward. And it's still important, though, to make sure that you are seeing someone who provides financial planning advice to you that's tailored to you and is about you.
So what training do financial planners have to have done?
Yeah, good question. There's a lot of change going on at the moment. At the moment, the requirement to be a financial planner is basically to have a Diploma of Financial Planning, which is what they call RG146 compliance qualifications. Now, if you just have that base level of qualification, you're more than likely to be selling insurance only, or at the beginning of your career working maybe in a bank or a large institution where they're training you up and you have to continue to study. It is changing, so that's a great thing. It's changing so that we all have to have the equivalent of a degree, which is great.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
So it's going to be a reasonable process because there wasn't degrees 10 years ago. So people who have advanced diplomas or CFP or advanced diplomas and some other qualifications just have to do a little bit of bridging to actually get to that, what they call degree equivalent. And now new financial planners coming in do have to have a degree, which is great.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I think that's even progressed since the last time we spoke about it. That's great to hear. It's fixing itself up as an industry, fair to say?
It is. It is. There's still a little bit of trouble out there, but it's a lot easier to avoid than it was even 5 years ago.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good news. So I've spoken to you a little bit on and off over the last couple of years about the tribe that I work with. And as you know, I do some parent coaching with families who have a child with a disability. And I also do some business coaching for allied health professionals. And I'm sure my allied health professional tribe who are hopefully listening won't mind me saying that sometimes there's a little bit of financial head in the sand thinking going on. And it can really be the scary part of running a business, particularly in the early days. Yet for me, when I was learning to run my business, once I got my head around the financials, and it was an ongoing thing, it didn't happen overnight, the confidence was amazing. And I really started to understand it and know how to kind of work it across my business, but also across my personal finances as well. So I can only speak from my experience, but you've got such a more informed, objective opinion. What's the value of working with an advisor, a financial advisor of some sort when you're in small business?
Well, basically it is that relaxation. Any kind of small business that you're running is going to be taking a lot of your time, a lot of your energy and a lot of your effort. And you really don't need to be worrying about the stuff behind the scenes that should be running itself. If that's stressing you out, if it's not working for you, and if that's taking away your energy, then what you're doing is missing out on the real challenges that you want to achieve, which in your field with your tribe, Kathy, would be, you know, helping the children or getting the results that the families need. If that's your passion, if that's what you want to do, why would you be spending time and energy and potentially mucking up the financial side of things? It's just it's a waste of your time. So we sort of have a motto of you should be doing what you do best. Don't do this stuff. This stuff takes a lot of training. We do hundreds of hours of ongoing training a year to know what the heck we're doing. you don't have the time to be doing that and do what you do well.
Yeah. I would probably add to that that a high-level understanding and a broad overview of it helps so that you can really engage with your advisory team as well.
Definitely.
You can't just delegate.
And
you've got to get
any good advisor, yeah, any good advisor will be including you and educating you along the way. But it shouldn't be your focus. It should be your, you need to know what's going on in your own life and in your own business. But it shouldn't be what you are focusing on a daily basis. So, yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. You need to have somebody who is an expert in their various areas dealing with those areas for you. So whether that is a business coach looking after you, whether it's an accountant setting up your structures and doing things like that, whether it's your bookkeeper who's doing your day-to-day accounts, or whether it's your financial planner who's looking after you, your personal finances or your business insurance, etc. needs, those things are expert areas. And in the same way as I wouldn't try to do what you guys do, I don't think you should be trying to do this stuff without some outsourcing.
Yeah, I agree. And our conversation today is quite topical because usually every 6 months or so, I check in with my financial broker. And it's not always the happiest of meetings, but he's absolutely fabulous and got a wealth of knowledge. And I left that meeting with a checklist of things I need to follow up and things that I need to make sure that the accountant is across that's relevant to business deductions and personal income tax and all the rest of it. And just even though I don't do it often now because my needs are different, it was a really good reminder, a really good checkup. As we finished the meeting, he said, we need to be doing this every 6 months. And I agree completely. And we didn't get as far as putting a date forward, but yeah, it kind of feels good to have those people covering your back and hunting up things for you and getting answers and explaining all the paperwork that seems to arrive every 3 or 4 weeks. So yeah, I'm always getting a big fan of advisors.
Yeah, my children tell me that I fill out papers for a living and I can't really argue with them. But basically, I've lost, you know, what I was going to say just then. So,
team of advisors and checkups, financial checkups. Can I give you a clue?
Yeah, no, that's great. Yes. What I was going to say is one of the best things about that is the accountability factor. So we all know that if we've got something we have to get done, but it's not what we enjoy doing, we're going to put it off and put it off and put it off until it becomes a problem. So whether it's going to the dentist or whether it's, you know, getting to the gym or anything like that, having someone who holds you accountable for your results as well is essential. So a good financial planning team, a good accounting team, a good bookkeeping backup team, business coaches, they all should be doing that for you as well.
Yeah. And the mental and emotional relief of having a really good team who communicate together and work with you is amazing. It's amazing to know that that stuff is all squared away, really frees your creativity and your energy for that other stuff you're talking about that, you know, the stuff we're trained to do.
Exactly. And it's what you enjoy doing. You didn't go into business so you could spend a lot of your time doing bookwork or paperwork. Also, what I love about my job the most is when I get somebody who sits in the chair in front of me after we've done our work for them and given them solutions and outcomes. Even if they've got a lot of work to do, they can still sit there and you get that that sigh running through them, that they know that that's okay now. They can not just put that, delegate it as much of it as they can, but also just put it to the side knowing it's under control and they can focus then, let their whole brain, their whole mind and their whole focus be on those children and those families.
Yeah, and living life and knowing that, yeah, there's that security. Yeah, very cool. Where are good spots for mere mortals like me to kind of find out more about what I could or should be doing?
Question. There's a couple of different websites. There would be the AFA, Association of Financial Advisors website, would have some articles and some guidance on there. The Financial Planning Association website. You've also got Advisor Ratings website, has a lot of information. And obviously we have a blog on my website that can give you information.
How up to date's that, my darling?
Well, the blog gets updated, you know, as regularly as we can.
Yeah.
Whilst we're also focusing on our clients. So, yeah. But no, the information on there is all relevant and current. But what is really important is what you need to look at when you're going to see an advisor, financial advisor or a business coach or et cetera. My clues, if you meet with somebody and you sit down and that person spends the first 10 to 15 minutes talking about themselves and not asking you questions and finding out about you, it's really a good time to run away.
Oh, I know exactly that person. Very, very cool observation. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And the other thing is you need to feel comfortable and you need to have some trust in that person. And that does take a bit of time. So if somebody sort of sits you down in a chair and tries to push you into anything, again, don't do it. It's not right. Person needs to take the time to make sure you're comfortable with what you're doing. Finances is very personal, very, very important. So don't just sit down with anyone and hand over everything. Got to be a trust.
Sounds like financial dating.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, absolutely.
Just bit by bit. So on the topic of bit by bit and getting good information, how's that book of yours going, Mel?
Yeah, it's going really well. So my book is it's called The Insider's Guide to Getting Quality Advice Before You're Wealthy. So basically, it's going to teach you all the things that you need to know to get the advice. It's not going to teach you how to do it yourself. It's probably a few months off launch, but it's close. It's at edit stage. It's nearly there, Kathy. Thanks for asking.
I can't wait to get this book. I can't wait. Listeners, I've seen this book go from wiggles on a whiteboard to headings and brainstorm on a huge, on butcher's paper. And I've seen Mel tap away and write away for hours on end. So fair to say, it's a financial labour of love.
It definitely is. But it's also a financial, it's about getting you to the right advisor and making sure that you're not ripped off and that you're doing everything you can do to look after yourself.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm going to thank you in advance because I am looking forward to my copy in my hot little hands. So you are quite the businesswoman. Are you just dying for me to ask about all the awards you've won?
Yeah, no, I'm sure I can't keep up with you, Kathy, but basically... Yeah, no, I have won a few awards, but that's due to the passion for the profession that I have. So I have a strong history in consumer advocacy and I will fight the fight to make sure that clients get the outcomes they deserve. So that's the reason why the awards are there.
Yeah.
I think my industry just gives out a few more than yours.
Maybe, but you still got to be right up the pointy end to win them. So what's interesting is you've won Aon Hewitt Financial Advice. You've won several of their awards, but you've also won business awards. So you've got this kind of head like a planet. You've got all your financial planning content, but you also run a neat business that's been recognised by your community, which I think is incredibly cool.
Yeah, I was kind of proud of that one, I have to admit. But basically... it's about providing trust, again, and being out in the community in your local area, particularly for me, is developing trust. So that's where it comes from. But it's also, my business is run differently to most other financial planning businesses. I worked in 5 or 6 other practices prior to starting my own. I saw a lot of things going on that I didn't like. So the ultimate decision for me to go out on my own was kind of frustration. It was, I know we can do this better. I know we can do it with a client focus. I know we can do it with ethics and integrity. And it's taken 6 years for me to, so far in my own business, prove that, yeah, it's absolutely, it can be done that way. So there's no reason why anyone in the financial planning world has to do the things wrong or rip people off or take advantage of people. It's all about the client and that's the way it should be.
Amazing, amazing. So in regards to Horton Strategic Solutions, what are you most proud of?
Well, I'm proud of the fact that we do focus on people who aren't yet wealthy. We don't mind if you are wealthy when you come in, that's absolutely fine. But basically the opinion of people in the general community and the opinion of people in the advice community has been that you have to work with those who already have wealth for it to be viable. That's just not the case. These days with what we call a fee-for-service structure, which basically means that as long as the fee that you need to pay me is a value for money, depending on what you're going to get out of the relationship, it doesn't matter if you're wealthy or not wealthy. We've got to get you to a position where you can take care of yourself.
Very outcomes-driven rather than product-driven.
Absolutely, yeah. We're not product focused in any way. We only use product if we need it to provide you with a solution.
Yeah, Very cool. Now, you are one of the most hardworking women I know. The hours you put in, monumental. Keep breathing, Mel, keep breathing. We need you. And so my next question is probably a hypothetical, just saying. If you had a whole spare day, a whole uninterrupted business day, what would you do?
Go home to bed? No.
Yeah, you would actually.
I would focus on process. So when you are busy all the time, and this practice has been busy from the moment I opened it and it's still busy now, basically you don't get enough time to step back and work on the processes and procedures and make sure everything's efficient. So that would be my focus, would be some efficiency.
Yeah, I hear that from my tribe and my coaching clients as well, that there's a tendency to get more done and see more clients and help more people and do more school visits. And when it comes, there's only so many hours in the day and week. And when you do want to grow, it's almost impossible to grow and sustain that growth if you haven't got that foundation of this is who we are, this is how we do things. And we use technology and hardware and software that really supports our talents, if you like. So yeah, I'm with you. I reckon that's a day well spent should you ever have an uninterrupted free business day, Mel.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to happen. It will.
It will. We'll make that happen.
Absolutely.
So to kind of take a little bit of a leap sideways, and I know that you're comfy for me to bring the topic of your amazing teenage son to this conversation. And I don't know if I ever told you, but you know that blog we wrote about what mothers want health professionals to know? Do you remember when we wrote that last year or the year before?
I do, yes.
You do? You remember where we were? I think it's been my all-time highest performing blog.
Well, I'll take some of the credit for that then, Cathy.
Yeah, I reckon. I think take a whole lot of the credit for that. So now that you've got sort of the open microphone, you can decide to share how much you want to share. But what advice and tips have you got for health professionals working with children and families? What could just shift them from good to great in terms of working with parents?
So I think one of the really important things, I'll just go back a step here and explain that my son is on the autism spectrum. Not sure if you actually sat then, just so that people know. But yeah, so he's 15 and he goes to a regular school. He's high functioning. And now that he's 15, he's doing really well because of the years and years of time, effort, and energy that's been put into him by ourselves and obviously some of your tribe, Kathy, the OTs, the speech pathologists, and all those sorts of people who've helped us along the way. But basically, the thing that I sort of noted was when you see some of the allied health professionals, they assume that you're trying to do things at the lowest possible cost, which is a lovely thing to think about. But quite often, you would actually pay more if you could get something done more efficiently or that would achieve an outcome that's better. And cost is relevant, but it's not the only option that helps make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Other than obviously all the usual things that you would know, which is listening, making sure that it's an individual workplace, diagnosis, whatever. It's that point of don't assume actually what the priorities are for the family. Of course, we don't want to throw money out the window, but sometimes time is more important to us than saving a few dollars.
Yeah, I think, from recall, some of the conversations we've had have been able to get some things done in a private clinic in the public sector or to jump across that public-private divide to get things in a timely manner that might result in funding and school supports and different things rather than months on waiting lists. That's just criminal. So, yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. There's also, obviously, I'm a primary income earner in our family and I don't have time. I don't have time to be. I would rather spend some money on a private consultant or et cetera and get things done rather than save some money and have to wait or muck around or do that sort of thing.
Your beautiful boy is just dying to get back to school. Looking forward to it?
I'm sure he can't wait, yeah. I'm sure he can't. No, he's, as you would expect, he's well and truly into his video games and every other kind of game there is, so he's not looking forward to going back to school at all, but he'll cope. Yeah. He loves social action.
Oh, yeah. And all those new and exciting changes ahead. So,
definitely.
I'm working with a couple of teenagers at the moment, and both of them want to go into game design and animation and all the rest of it. And I'm curious, it's completely understandable, but I'm just curious about what games of the future are going to look like and what these organizations are going to be like socially with this workforce that is really quite genius but nuanced. So yeah, it's amazing. I don't know. You don't get much time to read, Mel. I might flick you some links. But IT companies are recruiting for autism, and they're encouraging people to put it on their resume, in that it brings such an asset, positive skill set to.
Well, it does. They don't have to follow the rules. They don't have to. They can see things on a sideways sort of basis sometimes, and they can just say, well, this is what I want to happen. How do I make it happen? Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, very, very cool.
Just let me know who those recruiters are for my son.
I will. I've read a couple of blogs. I think I saw it on LinkedIn, actually. And I'll see if I can find it. I will. Very happy to send that on. So one of the rules of this podcast, and so far with my recordings, I haven't regretted setting this rule, is that the guests can ask me a question. So no doubt you've given that loads of thought, and
just sitting
back in my chair for the question that you are more than welcome to ask me.
All right. Well, okay. I'm going to ask you a question. So you're a successful business person, Kathy. You've had your own allied health practice, and you've actually moved on from that, and now you coach other practices. So what do you think the advantages of outsourcing some of the things that you're not the best at, and how has it helped you?
Ooh, very good question. What I realized reasonably early in my first business was that I didn't want to do it all, and that I needed to know the basics. I needed to know the high level stuff, but there were people who really, really enjoyed that stuff that I didn't like. And when I realized that, A, I didn't really have to do it, but other people loved it, I just thought that was a perfect match, absolute perfect match. And I started with, I went through about four accountants, and been now with the same one for probably 15 years. And she had a bookkeeper. So the bookkeeper came in and did all the data entry stuff and talked to the accountant. And then I got a business coach, and the business coach, you know, came in, and, you know, I would sit with them in a huddle. So what it did, and I sort of mentioned it a little earlier in our conversation, was it freed up my mental capacity to be creative and to do as much clinical work as I wanted to, but it also freed up my energy to develop my leadership skills and my more strategic management skills and think of new things. Start to get a little bit innovative. And we were doing things in that first business that, you know, other people weren't doing. And that was because I knew all of that financial stuff was squared away, and that I complete trust. Those guys, they were amazing at what they did, and they made me look good. So for me, the value lies in giving yourself permission that you have to understand it, but you don't have to do it. You have to find people that you absolutely love and trust and would have dinner with, and you would bring to your family home, and that those guys love it and want to collaborate with you. So, yeah. But the moment when I realized somebody else loved doing it, that was it. I've got to, you know, I can make them happy too.
Just one thing I'm not sure we've covered off is the difference between what an accountant does and what a financial planner does. Did you
want me to? Oh, gosh. I'm settling in.
Okay. I'll be
brief. Go for it. Absolutely.
So generally an accountant, and you've got sort of two aspects. You've got your business and your personal aspect. So with an accountant is predominantly there to run your business financials for you, to set up structuring, to set up the best way to protect your personal assets and business assets separated and things like that, and also to make sure that you're accountable to the ATO, that you're doing everything right, and to keep you compliant from a financial perspective. And then obviously there's the personal side of that as well, which usually the same accountant will take care of, which is your personal income, your personal tax, just the, you know, the reporting effectively that you have to do in Australia to keep yourself out of the eyes of the ATO and pay your taxes. So financial planners are a little bit different. I tend to focus on you as a person, and the numbers are secondary. So I actually say that accountants, sort of numbers people, but they have to have real people behind that. Whereas financial planners, or good financial planners, are more people, and the numbers are what relate to the stuff that we work with you. So effectively, we've got a situation where financial planners look after your whole financial situation. So they'll work with your accountant, they'll work with your legal advisors, they'll work with other professionals. But we take care of the little things like your superannuation, personal insurances, yeah, savings goals, your debt management. But we won't write your mortgage. We won't do your accounting, all that sort of stuff. So it's a big picture type of scenario. So where are you now? Where do you need to be? Where do you want to be? How do we get you financially from here to there? And it's a long process. It's not a quick fix type scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
But it takes into consideration all of your personal history, your financial biases, the realities of what you're going to do. There's no point
risk
in a
tolerance.
Financial... Yeah, tolerance. Risk tolerance is important, but also what you're actually going to do as opposed to what you sit in the chair and tell the financial planner you're going to do. So if we say to you, we want you to put away a certain amount of money per month into this superannuation fund or do something else, that's great. But if it's really not going to happen, then you're just going to run away and not come back. Mm. So it is about us looking at personality types and realities of what you're going to do.
That's a great differentiation. Really, really good. And I guess when you're a small business owner, your personal finances and your business finances are often quite enmeshed and often need some unpacking and some differentiation. And to understand all of that is really powerful and helps you make really good decisions for both your business and your personal finances, has been my experience.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's definitely enmeshed, particularly for small business owners. And we do spend a bit of time explaining the stuff that the accountant are setting up and structuring and things like that. But we too, as this practice in particular, there are financial planning practices that specialise in the business side. We focus on you. So we're going to let your accountant run your business, and we're going to deal with the income that you have and the revenue that you've got and what you need to achieve, how to minimise your tax, maximise your overall position, but actually get somewhere.
Yep, got it. All righty, Mel, thank you so much for your time. Is there anything that I've not asked or anything you really want to kind of drop in for the listeners?
I don't know. I mean, when you were talking to me earlier, you said, what is your product? And I said, well, my product is actually financial relaxation. That's my product. Mm. It's about making sure that you don't have to worry about this stuff, because I'm going to do it all for you.
With you. Yep.
Mm, definitely.
Would you like to share up your website and your contact details? And in the show notes, we can put links to things.
Yeah, definitely. So it's Houghton Strategic Solutions, Financial Planning for Real People. Website is www.houghtonstrategic.com.au. Phone number 1300 787579. Yeah, any inquiries, give me a yell.
So you're based in Melbourne, but I'm thinking you must have clients all over the place.
I do. I have clients all over Australia. Most of them are people that used to be with me in Point Cook or Melbourne. Mm. And have moved and refused to give up on me. So that's the majority. But we can certainly do anything. Nothing is impossible.
Well, for the 30 minutes before this conversation, none of our technology on either side of the river was working. So usually technology supports us. Yeah, we
have. You know what I should have done? I should have outsourced that to someone who does it as an expert.
Yep. Yep, maybe next time, but I'm pretty sure this recording is going to be okay. So we will leave you to get back to your, I've seen your office, your files and your tech and your awesomeness. Thank you so much for sharing up some time. And in the show notes, I'll provide some links through to your website and some links to Facebook and LinkedIn and all the rest of it. So you may hear from some of my listeners down the track. Who knows? Thanks, Mel.
Thank you, Kathy. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Indeed. See you later. Bye. Big thanks for investing your time right through to the end of this episode of Private Practice Secrets. We hope you enjoyed this episode and all the other strong private practice stories in this, our very first season.
of private practice secrets. If you're keen for some more private practice business info, we sure can help you out. Head on over to the nakerconsulting.com.au website and you'll find all sorts of bits and pieces there. Blogs, forms, web events, freebies, conferences and more. I'll spell that for you, nacre.com.au. Yeah, a weird name with a really, really cool story. While you're on the website, you are warmly invited to book in for a free 30-minute power coaching session. I really look forward to hearing a bit more about you and your business. And yes, you have full permission to pick my brains. Thanks for listening. I'm Kathy Love, Allied Health Business Coach, and I'm wishing you and your business a brilliant day.